looking, I guess, for redemption. You know, last time they were in Montreal, Cole Caulfield wins it in overtime. The Habs are looking to get off the mat because of what happened last night. They got beat up, and I don't know what to think about this Carey Price scenario, Noodles. Like, he's not taking the trip, and he's not skating in gear. He's skating on his own, and we know what he's dealing with. But
I skated in gear today, I thought, for the first time. But then I was reading John Liu's notes. He was supposed to travel with the team and practice on Friday, tomorrow, but they changed it to an optional practice, so he's not going to. So they just figured he would, instead of skating full time with only some of the scrubs, who call him on an off day, he'll just stay back with the goalie coach and get shots there. So I think he's on a timeline to probably be back next week. I'm not worried about it. Here's why. They're making sure that he's 100%. He's only, like, the injury was 2 weeks ago. Like, Frederik Andersen and Carey Price are completely different. Frederik Andersen hasn't played in 2 months. That's an off season. 2 weeks, I think you get a couple practices and a game and you go. But for me, if I'm the Habs, I'm looking at, like, a concussion. You don't come back at 90%. This guy's feeling good.
Well, and that's the whole thing. That makes it almost more unpredictable, right? Like,
right.
Concussions can linger, as we know. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, our good buddy Mike Johnson. What do you make of the timeline of Carey Price?
Well, I don't know what to make of it because it's a concussion. So he can be around the ice. He can do nice, fancy stick handling, which I must say, he's got pretty good hands. If you've seen any of the clips of him stick handling around the net, he's got... He might have better hands than I did, but until he gets back and plays and gets in practice and gets a shot off the head or whatever's going on with him, you know, you could feel like you're close and you could be miles away. So I guess they're taking it day by day, but I don't know if there's any guarantee because he plans on practicing in a couple of days. That means he's going to be fine next week. I think the unknown nature of concussion says, I guess when he's back. But until then, we really don't know. Even if he's feeling better, we don't actually know how he's doing.
Yeah, right. I just wanted to pile on there, too, is with concussions, you know, you hope that things are great. Like, you know, we see guys come back from them all the time. But there are some times where there's setbacks. And that's why when you're looking at a timeline, I would much rather take a few extra days on the back end, if he gets cleared, to feel comfortable before you start putting yourself in. Like, this isn't something where you rush through. I still think there's enough time, too. Like, the playoffs don't start next week. I think it's about 2 weeks. Would it be 2 weeks today, I think?
2 weeks today, likely. But I think he could go game one if he's been cleared, too, without playing in the regular season again.
You know,
I think basically what you're saying, too, is he's had enough games. He is who he is, and he's established as the number one. That's another thing. It's not like Jake Allen has been fine this year. But,
yeah, he's been good.
You know, Campbell and his situation, I think, is different than Allen and his situation, and that's Carey Price's net, where it's not the case anymore in Toronto. It feels like it's more Jack Campbell's net at this point, Johnny. And Freddie Anderson's got to prove that he's capable of taking it back.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's enough time for him to prove that. I mean, given how well Jack Campbell has played this year, and I heard you earlier talking about, you know, the hot run that he was on felt maybe like a hot run, but now this is kind of, he's just playing like a quality goalie. And so if Freddie, you know, gets through a couple of games in the minors, what, plays one game in the NHL and plays okay, would that be enough to supplant Jack Campbell and what he's done all year long and including the last couple of months? I'm with you. I don't think so. I think Jack Campbell is very likely, barring something unforeseen, the starter of game one, and they may use both. It's probably inevitable. They will use both goalies if they have any kind of lengthy run, but it probably will be Jack Campbell's net to start, and it should be. I mean, Freddie hasn't played in how long, Noodles? Like 2 months. I guess
2 months.
Half, you know, almost half the year he's not been around the team. So, you know, they're used to Jack Campbell. They certainly enjoy playing in front of him. He's given them quality goaltending. And so I think sometime in the last, whatever, 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, the mindset of the organization probably flipped and saying, you know what? This is going to be our guy regardless. And hopefully we have Freddie Anderson available to us if we need him. But this guy's done enough to warrant the starts.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So it was a wild scene in New York last night. It's been a wild scene for the better part of 72 hours down there, considering what happened on Monday and then on Tuesday with the statement, the firings on Wednesday, the game last night, six fights in the first 5 minutes. And there is a theory out there that some hold that if Tom Wilson was given a 10-game suspension, the Rangers would not have reacted the way they did last night. Do you believe in that theory, or do you think it was absolutely irrelevant because the Rangers were going to feel like they had to prove they were tough enough to have a reaction the way that they did last night?
I think that if Tom Wilson had been suspended for 10 games, there would not have been six fights. There might have been one. There might have been two. There would not have been an opening line brawl. Brian Strome would not have dropped his elbow pad and gone off with Lars Eller. Like, absolutely, it would have been a different response. Now, you're right. The idea that when a team hears it, it's collective toughness be challenged that way, it's almost inevitable they're going to respond, including guys who don't usually do that. And the Rangers have a whole bunch of guys fighting last night who don't usually do that, and good for them for doing it. But I am a believer that if the team felt justified and the league came down hard on Tom Wilson, guess what? The narrative would not have been so loud, Hayes, is that people would have not have been questioning, well, the Rangers don't have anyone to do anything about it. That's why he did it. If they had someone tougher, if they were tougher, then they would have done something. It would have been the story, and the narrative would have been Tom Wilson out of control, got suspended for 7 games, and what's his problem? And it wouldn't be about so loudly and so publicly about what's wrong with the Rangers. And I think it's because it was so loud and so public, that's why they reacted the way they did. So if the suspension had been stiffer, I think the response would have been maybe a little bit, but nothing like what we saw.
MJ, are you buying the timing of the firings, like the statement? Like, it's all just, I mean, you know, it just is all fishy. Like, if you don't like the direction the organization is headed, you know, you want a different leadership, strong leadership in that, do you not wait till Saturday or Sunday? Like, their season's done Saturday. Like, why the immediate firing the day after a statement was released where apparently some people agreed with it, some people didn't? Then you've got Messier coming out and saying the team's like, like, what the hell's going on, and what's your impression of the timing of the firing and then, you know, the reaction of everyone?
So it does seem rather peculiar to happen on that day. If it's unrelated to the letter to the league and to what happened with Tom Wilson, then why would you do it yesterday amongst all that chaos to add to the fire? Now, I read James Dolan's statement today. He said because they were going on the road, and so they didn't want to do it on the road, and they wanted Chris Drury to do the year-end meeting. Okay, again, they're playing in the East. I'm not even sure where their next games are. One's in Boston tonight. Like, you can fire them in Boston. It's a 3-hour drive back to New York. It's not like they're going over to Australia. Like, they can slip a bird down to Pittsburgh and get them home, and it's not a big deal if that's that important to you. So yeah. I have a hard time buying that. You know, the idea that it's a productivity. Like, I don't know what James Dolan thought the Rangers were supposed to be this year. They were probably the sixth best team heading into the year in that division. They're going to finish fifth. I think they actually had a good year by what their expectations should have been. So that doesn't really ring true either. Now, listen, Chris Drury's been around for a long time. If you like Chris Drury, you think he's the guy, okay. Like, it's your team. Do what you want. But to blame it on production, it rings hollow to me, and therefore it kind of feels like it might be tied into whatever else is going on, even if all parties that are still there deny that's a fact.
Yeah, that seems to be the case, because Drury, I believe, said today the expectation was not to make the playoffs. So
right. So what they missed it by one? So what are they complaining about?
Like,
they did well. It's strange.
It is strange. And what is going to be difficult, I think, over the next couple of weeks. Now, we'll be focused clearly on the playoffs, and that'll be a distraction. But at some point, the dust is going to settle, and everyone's going to try to recalibrate this whole league and the standings once we go back to normal, with the assumption that we will go back to normal. And we had this conversation the other day about Ottawa, who has really played incredibly well. I mean, they got themselves up off the mat. They were in a really bad spot earlier in the year based on how they were playing, and they were getting smoked on the road. And they've completely redeemed themselves, and they finished incredibly strong. Yet I can't commit to them being a playoff team next year, because if we go back to normal, Tampa's in the fold again. Boston's in the fold again. Florida, who's had a really good year, they're back in the fold. The Leafs are not going to fall off. So, and I think it, probably the same thing has to apply in New York. You know, like once we get back to normal here, who are the Rangers? Who are the Ottawa Senators? Who is Minnesota when we're back to a regular season? And we're going to have to figure that out at some point.
It's a very good point. And whenever you're trying to, if you're, for us, it's all fun and games. We can try to guess who's going to win and who's not going to lose. But if you're running an organization, there's far greater importance on having an accurate assessment of who your team is, who the players are, and what your potential is and what your timing is. And trying to do all that in your own little unique 8-team or 17 bubble is going to be more challenging than a normal summer. But you know, that's why they're paid the big bucks. That's why they're the general managers. They have to make good calls and be honest in their evaluations of their own team. So, it'll be tricky though. Like Ottawa is a great case because this year is so strange and they're playing Vancouver and what's Vancouver right now? Cause they're all a mess. And you know, there's a lots of things to it, but, the divisions go back to normal. Different challenges will present themselves to those teams, but, I think you also think they did play this year and they played the teams they had to, and you can still dig pretty deep into what's going on based on what the Rangers did this year, where they're good, where they're bad, what Ottawa did this year, where they're good, where they're bad. And I think you should be able to come up with a pretty good answer.
Yeah. Well, being honest with yourself, like is a priority. Like you get shocked. I've been shocked many times where a team will make a decision based on them believing they're better than I think they are, or them believing they're worse than I thought they were, you know, and that can be very difficult to do, especially the latter, when your team put forth a pretty good season, and yet you have the ability to analyze it objectively or as much so as possible and properly, where you're like, I can't look at the standings and believe we're a piece away. We're not that good. You know, like we actually have to take a step back here. It's very difficult to do, and I have to believe it's probably the most difficult sales job is to the owner, to go to the owner and say, everything you just saw, that wasn't actually factual. We're not that good, and we have to make a couple of different moves here.
Yeah, think about when St. Louis traded, they were almost in the playoffs. They traded Paul Stastny for a first-round pick. And like I think that was the case where they're saying, we're not a Stanley Cup contender, even though they won a cup, I think, only a year or 2 years later. But, you know, for the guys in the room, for the coaches, they're thinking you're dismantling, you're taking pieces away when we're battling for a playoff spot. But that's probably an accurate read. And I'm glad to hear Chris Drury say that today. Like, we weren't planning to make the playoffs. We're not there yet. Like, that's good. That's a realistic assessment of who you are and who you are supposed to be, which is got to be the cornerstone of any successful management group, is like the ability to be self-reflective and do it accurately. And good to see Chris Drury doing it.
But that, you know, to your point, I think Chris Drury was going to be the guy. Every time a manager's job came up, Chris Drury seemed to be like the, you know, Chris Drury's been offered the job. Chris Drury's been, you know, that. And I feel like, we talked about it on the show yesterday, I feel like he was like the Jim Nill for a while, or has been the Jim Nill for a while, where, you know, he was always known as a general manager in the making, but Detroit wouldn't let him go. And it sounds like the Rangers at some point said, you're going to take this over, just be mindful of it. But his statements today, like saying, well, we weren't going to be in the playoffs, we didn't expect to be, but yet the two guys were fired for performance base.
Like,
it doesn't make sense. Like, no, I think there is a philosophy difference between whether it's Jim Dolan and Chris Drury, and Glenn Sather's still kicking around. Sounds like he's back in the fold there, right?
You know what you need? You need Moose. You need Meth in there.
Well, he is advocating.
As a coach, as the GM, as whoever. I mean, it's amazing the time that you hear him come out and be like, oh, I can coach 100%. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Like, what? Like, I like Mark Messier. Of course I do. He's been in the Bahamas for like the last 6 years. It's, you know, you can't just step in behind the bench. You can't just go become a general manager because you were great at hockey. The whole thing, Noodles, you're right. Like, they're going to toe the company line. They're going to say what they're supposed to say. But there's lots of stuff that does not connect.
right?
When you kind of add up all the different statements, they're just like, wait, like, that fails a little bit of the logic test. But yeah, I mean, Chris Drury, you know, the comparable might be right here in Toronto. And Kyle Dubas was brought in. I think a lot of people are like, okay, he's going to be the GM someday. Is Lou Lamoriello going to be around for how long? When will Kyle get his chance? Well, at some point, you got to move out the guy that's in the way. And maybe this was just an opportunity to do so because the guy you really wanted to have the job, Chris Drury, was waiting in the wing. So you found a reason, whether it was a good one or not. You just made it happen, which people can complain about James Dolan. He owns the team. He can run them any way he wants. Like, I hate this. Like, the idea that somehow the owner shouldn't do that. He should do whatever he wants. That's his right. Now, you don't have to like it as a fan. You don't have to choose to work for someone like that. But if you own any company, as long as you're, like, not violating any laws, you can hire and fire whoever you want. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody else but you, because that's the right you've earned by having the billions of dollars it takes to own those things.
Well, he's proven that throughout his existence.
Yeah, like, and he doesn't care.
Like, no, he doesn't.
He's hated in New York. He's hated by Knicks fans. Hated by Knicks fans. And largely because he's been involved with the Knicks. And it's like he's left the Rangers alone. And I think the fear is out of New York Ranger fans, like, hang on, the Knicks are kind of making sense right now. You know, on the right path. So now he's going to dip his toe into the Ranger mess and maybe mess that one up. So, anytime you hear James Dolan comments, it's you're left kind of scratching your head.
That's what he has done. That's his reputation. And I think it's an appropriate one if you're in New York. But, hey, listen, to your point, it is his team. He doesn't have to explain himself to anything. He's made the moves and doesn't matter. We'll see. I'm curious when we're going to hear from Jeff Gorton and or John Davidson, more so Davidson, who's a very affable guy, always willing to talk. And like he's been a Ranger for a life, played for the team, was a broadcaster forever, came in years ago as the president and, you know, obviously a very well-respected guy. Mm. And it's one thing, okay, you don't like the GM anymore. Davidson out, it was surprising.
You know, like, right. And you think he left Columbus only to come to New York because of all the things you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Right. Because New York was the only place, as you said, that I would have left this job for because it was a special place in his heart. And to have him kind of unceremoniously, and you're right, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the dynamic is amongst the front office and how much a president impacts the GM, how much the GM impacts the coach. I don't know that, but you probably could have spared him if you chose to, but maybe JD jumps right back on TV. He's been amazing on TV. Maybe the new American broadcast partners say, okay, well, that's a guy we did not think was available. That is.
That wouldn't be shocking at all. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Maybe that's the road he goes down. But we'll hear from them at some point, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll fly. Good one. Good luck tonight. You're a part of the action tonight, Leafs-Habs. It should be a good one. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
There he is, Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst.
Yeah, I read an article this morning saying that, you know, would Columbus look to bring him back? Like, it's not like he left, like, on bad terms with Columbus. Like, Kekalainen and him worked well together, and he just had an opportunity to go to New York. Sounded like a dream job to go back to a place that he, and if it crashed and burned, I don't think it crashed and burned, because I think they built something pretty good to,
I think
it's
the
just
Rangers
a weird
a
ending.
Very good spot, like a really good spot.
It's just a weird ending. You
it's
know?
A very weird ending. And yeah, John Davidson has been a hockey lifer. He's going to land on his feet, and even if he doesn't, he's made a fortune in this game. He's in a good spot. You know,
yeah.
He'll be okay. But I am thinking we got to hear from him at some point. You know, he's probably either embarrassed or enraged
or
confused.
Like I said yesterday, he gets paid full, but there's a NDA or whatever attached. Like
right.
Legal,
see you later.
Legal.
You're out the door. We'll pay out the rest of your contract, but
nothing gets discussed.
Yep, that wouldn't
like
be
that
shocking.
might be something. Like it might be a legal situation.
Wouldn't be shocking. Wouldn't be the first time, and likely won't be the last either.